then give the word to Michelle.
So I'm Michelle Sansom, I'm part of the technical team here. So in this next half hour, I'll aim to give an update on some of the activities that the technical team have been undertaking since the last GPF and CMAC meetings. So I'll start with what we anticipate that we will issue this year. I'll go through these two projects in a bit more detail later on, but just so you know that there's no changes here from what we said in March. These are the two amendments, and there are only these two amendments that we plan to issue this year. Then looking at our current major projects, what I suggest is I only give an overview of the projects that we won't be discussing during the course of the next 2 days. So on the GPF CMAC agenda is goodwill and impairment, primary financial statements, business combinations under common control, and management commentary. So just plan to go through what we've been doing on these four projects. So on our IFRS for SME standard, that's a small standard that the board issued in 2009. It then updated it in 2015. And we've been having discussions with the board about its next review. So the idea of that standard is it's for non-publicly accountable entities. It's written in a very simplified form and has less extensive requirements. We have now started our second review and will bring technical papers to the board for approval. We plan to issue a request for information. At this stage, we're not planning to ask this group to discuss this project at any stage. It has what's called the SMIG, a small and medium-sized implementation group. So unless otherwise you think, we wouldn't bring this project to this group. And then rate-regulated activities. So this is our project where we are trying to look at the relationship between the regulator and the supplying entity. So when an entity makes sales between itself and the customer, that's covered by IFRS 15. What we're trying to look at is assets or liabilities that might arise between the regulatory agreement that the regulator and the supplying entity has. In the last few months that the board, not a lot of papers have gone to the board, but we've been working quite hard behind the scenes to make sure we can articulate the principles that underline that standard. And so in June, the board will start to discuss some of those principles and make sure we've got the articulation right before we go for a consultation document later this year. So next, our dynamic risk management project, which is sometimes called our macro hedging project. This has been a project that's been going on for some time, and what the board have been discussing more recently are some of the operational and the disclosure requirements. What we plan to do with this project is to develop what's been referred to as the core model, and then at the latter part of this year and early next year, go out and test the core model before we went for a full consultation document. So this project will most likely affect banks it would affect banks. So that's where our focus is at the moment, finishing off that core model, and then we'll go for not a public consultation, but we'll do an outreach program and then come back to the board with the findings from the outreach program. And then finally, the financial instruments with characteristics of equity project. I think we discussed the feedback that we received on this discussion paper that was issued in 2018 with the CMAC members at the last meeting. What the staff have been doing more recently is really analysing that feedback and working through each of the sections in the exposure draft. And the board will start in this month's meeting to really get into what the feedback was on each of the major elements of the exposure draft. I think broadly what we heard was a support for the board to look at this topic, but some concerns around the classification proposals, but quite a lot of support around the disclosures that the board was proposing. So that'll be a project where we wait to see what the board's direction the board decides to take at a later meeting. And then in terms of our maintenance projects, so we anticipate, well, we already have out for comment, and I'll go through these in more detail so you're aware of what we're consulting on at the moment, our annual improvements, which is normally are just smaller, generally non-controversial amendments to standards. We have out an exposure draft, which I'll go through on, which is sort of a housekeeping one on IFRS 3 and the conceptual framework. We anticipate issuing at the latter part of this month the amendments to IFRS 17. And then we also have we also plan to issue an exposure draft relating to deferred tax. At this meeting, we're going to be discussing this targeted standards level review of disclosures. So I won't go through that. What we do have is we will issue as part of our disclosure initiative, an exposure draft on accounting policies. What we're trying to do is to give some help about which accounting policies to disclose to improve the disclosures around it. So the board is going to issue one exposure draft with two separate elements. One element will be to amend IS1 to propose that an entity discloses its material accounting policies rather than its significant accounting policies. And then in support of that, we'll make an amendment to what is called our materiality practice statement, which is a practice statement that helps entities apply materiality. And we'll include an example of how an entity would apply that practice statement to accounting, disclosing accounting policies. So some of our other work in progress that the board is looking at that I'll briefly go through. So where we've already issued exposure drafts and the board is still thinking on those exposure drafts in terms of next steps, accounting policies and accounting estimates, we issued an exposure draft in the latter part of 2017 where we were trying to clarify the difference between an accounting policy and an accounting estimate, and we did that by trying to explain that you use an estimate when you're applying a policy. We tried to make the definitions a bit clearer, and we talked about how an entity could select estimation techniques. The board is still considering the feedback on that one. Then we also issued another exposure draft around accounting policies, which was about changes in accounting policies. Now, I just wanted to flag here that Sue Lloyd issued an article that's available on our website about agenda decisions. I'm not sure if I think we did make it available to GPF members, but about changing accounting policies and the timing of the changes where you're changing accounting policy because of an interpretations committee agenda decision. And then at the June meeting, the staff are going to bring a paper back to the board on the exposure draft we also issued in 2017 about property, plant and equipment and where you have proceeds before intended use. So if you haven't got a factory fully up and running, but you are running some of it and you're selling some of the output, what do you do about that? The board has confirmed that it wants to proceed with the proposals in that exposure draft, but it recognises it needs to evaluate and think about the feedback that we received on the original proposals. So the staff will bring a paper that's looking at some modifications to those original proposals around identifying the costs that relate to the items of sale and maybe improving the disclosures around when that situation. And finally, the board is also considering its onerous contracts exposure draft, which we discussed at the last meeting. In terms of our research project, we discussed both the provisions project and the subsidiaries, the RSMEs projects. Both of those projects, the staff are at their desks really and undertaking outreach on a smaller scale to discuss where the board might go next. We anticipate that the staff will bring papers back to the board probably in Q4 of this year to agree with the board the direction of those projects and whether those projects move to the standards setting agenda. So they're quite quiet, but there is work going on. And with our extractive industries and our pensions benefits project, we will start the work on those projects again later this year. I don't know if you want to add anything else. Okay, so I thought it would be useful just to run through the projects that are currently out for comment. So we have phase one of our interest rate benchmark reform project out for comment at the moment, and the staff have been doing quite a lot of work behind the scenes on phase two. So phase two is the board looking more broadly at the range of issues that might occur when the interest rate benchmarks change. And we will be discussing this with our national standard setters in early July, where we'll be asking them to come to us from their preliminary findings in their jurisdictions as well. But out for comment is phase one, where in phase one what the board are doing is trying to provide some relief in the interim until we know what the longer term outcome. So I think we discussed this exposure draft at our previous meeting, so I'm not going to go into significant detail here, but the board is providing relief around the highly probable and the assessments when we're applying hedge accounting. Then we also have out for comment, which I think is kind of a housekeeping exposure draft. So this is really because the conceptual framework to change the definition of assets and liabilities, and IFRS 3, our business combination standard, refers to the conceptual framework. We left the reference to the old conceptual framework in that standard at the time we issued the conceptual framework. What we did was we did a round of outreach last summer about possible consequences if we updated that reference. And based upon that, we have now issued this exposure draft, which what the board is doing is it will remove the old reference and put in a reference to the new conceptual framework as its first point. And then to avoid any problems, because our concern was that because the definition of assets and liabilities had changed in the new conceptual framework, more assets and liabilities would be recognised on day one, so when the fair value accounting was done for the assets and liabilities acquired. But then when you applied the standards on day two, you would be reversing that. So what we've done is put in a proposal to change that recognition principle so that problem will be avoided. And we've also just done some tidying up around contingent assets. So that exposure draft is currently out for comments, and the comments are due by the 27th of September. And then also out for comment, as I said, was our annual improvements exposure draft, which is, I'm not going to go through these in detail, but that's out for comment until August. I thought it might also just be useful to pick up one item that's out for comment, but not out for comment by the board. This is out for comment by the trustees, which is our due process handbook review. So the due process handbook is our requirements about how the process that we go through when we're setting standards, and it applies to both the board and the interpretations committee. I think it's fair to say normally the board and the interpretation committee go beyond what's in the requirements, but it is a key part of how we work. And what our due process requirements are built on are the principles of transparency, full and fair consultation, and accountability. And the trustees have a committee that monitors our work. So each month we report to the committee, and then quarterly we present to the committee on the projects and the due process that we're following in those projects. So we're proposing some enhancements, or the trustees are proposing some enhancements to that handbook. The effects analysis, I think really that is reflecting current practice. What we've seen is more emphasis placed on the effects analysis, and this is really updating the handbook to catch up with the work that staff and the board are doing around the effects analysis, and it makes clear that the effects analysis works throughout the project, so right from the research stage through to the exposure draft stage, and it's then the final standard. So it's not just the final report. We're also proposing to include in the due process handbook the ability for the board to issue agenda decisions. So this wouldn't replace what the interpretations committee already do, but it would give the board a tool to respond to issues that might arise, I think most noticeably perhaps on new standards. So there's a proposal out. And what would happen is the agenda decisions would follow a similar due process to what the interpretation committee agenda decisions also follow. And then there's a few other things that we're just tidying up, like education materials. A lot of the materials we produce now are web-based, so we just needed to tidy up because the handbook had just got a bit out of date and didn't really recognise what we were doing. The role of the advisory council has become much more strategic as we've developed the role of the accounting standards advisory forum. So that's really a bit of tidying up. So that exposure draft is out for comment until the end of July, the 29th of July. So in terms of things that we will likely produce this year, most notably, I think we will see at the end of this month an amendment to, or a number of amendments to IFRS 17. So as you're aware, the board issued its final standard on insurance contracts back in 2017. We've been working very hard to monitor and work with preparers and investors for this standard. We've also had a transition resource group, and there was a meeting in April where a number of topics were considered. At this time, we're not scheduling another meeting of the transition resource group, but if needed, we might hold a meeting. But based on the feedback that we have received, the board will propose a number of amendments to IFRS 17. We're pretty much finished in terms of the balloting, so we do see this exposure draft being available at the end of this month. They are targeted proposals that we will make, that where the board has really tried to balance making the improvements but not risking the implementation of the standard that is already underway. I think importantly the basis conclusions will explain why these and why not others amendments, so it'll be quite a significant exposure draft, this one. In terms of other exposure drafts that we're expecting in the next quarter, we'll also issue an exposure draft on deferred tax. I think this issue has really come about because of the implementation date of IFRS 16. So I don't think this is a new issue. It's just really clarifying or providing some guidelines around, or actually finding the requirements around how to recognise deferred tax where you have both a tax liability and a tax asset on the initial recognition. So it will not only deal with leases, which was the original question that the Interpretation Committee received, but on other areas around PPE where you get both an asset and a liability on day one, how you recognise the deferred tax on those issues. So I suppose a bit of a niche amendment. Then in terms of amendments that we are expecting to see this year, this exposure draft was issued some time ago and the board just halted on the exposure draft until it finished the conceptual framework. Since the conceptual framework's been issued, we've gone back and thought about it, and the board's been discussing in more recent meetings the finalisation of those proposals. So it has now, issue a final amendment to IS1, which will provide guidance on the classification of lending arrangements at the end of the year. So I think importantly it will explain that an entity's right to defer settlement is not affected by management's expectations and how management make that assessment. And so it's a small amendment, but I think it's going to be quite significant. Then I thought it might be useful just to provide an overview of some of the other activities that are ongoing at the moment. So yesterday we had, and the day before, we had a very busy interpretations committee meeting where they had something like over 15 papers on various topics that were considered. I think in terms of investors, I might just flag that they had a discussion on the IA7 amendments that were made a couple of years ago for the reconciliation of financing activities. So we're likely to see a draft agenda decision there. And they'll finalise the decision on cryptocurrencies. Next week, we have our annual conference. I think you've all been contacted regarding the annual conference. We'll focus on providing updates on the board's main projects, especially around better communications, electronic reporting, and the Goodwill Project. And then the following week, the trustees are meeting in Munich. So these are the group of people that oversee the board's activities. They have a number of committee meetings, including the due process meeting on the first day of their meeting. And they've also established a new committee, which is going to look at our business processes and our technology, where the foundation have got an initiative to look at our processes and how we deliver our technology. So quite a big project. And then on day two, they plan to look at some strategic areas, such as consistent application, what we're doing in the area of consistent application, the timeliness of our standard setting, which always seems to be a good subject to discuss. And they'll also look at our role in the non-financial reporting arena. Then we have an accounting standards advisory forum coming up at the beginning of July. They are actually going to be discussing a number of projects that the members have been working on themselves, which are either not on our agenda yet or are there on our research pipeline. So we'll be discussing variable and contingent consideration with them. We'll also be talking to them about some of our other projects and the outreach, how they might support the outreach programs for our PFS project later this year. And then at the end of July, we're having a joint education meeting with the FASB. And then just finally, I thought I'd flag that we have now completed three post-implementation reviews, and the project summaries are all available on our website. But in the next quarter, we do plan to start our post-implementation review of 10, 11, and 12, and that's probably something that we'll be bringing back to you at the next meetings. So there was an overview. I don't know if you have any questions or comments, or Martin, if you want to add anything.
Only one comment from my side, because maybe you have seen that we will come up with an ED for IFRS 17, which is insurance. And maybe it is unusual, because the original effective day is already in the future, which is 1st Jan 2021. And the question is why we come up with 8 amendments before the effective day. And the reasoning for that is because it is kind of specific or a special situation, because this insurance standard, we were already aware that it is very, very difficult for insurers to implement that standard. And I think it is also not the same kind of undertaking for all kind of insurance companies, because they all come from a different background, because IFRS 4 was an interim standard, allowed them to do what they have done in national gaps, which so some have done insurance accounting based on cost, not discounting long-term liabilities, others have done a mark-to-market, or different backgrounds. And we had done a big effort to help insurance companies to implement the standard, and Michelle said, okay, we had already 4 THG meetings, and we discussed more than 120 issues which brought to us. But during all this kind of process, we received a lot of questions where people come up with suggestions how to makes the implementation even more easier. It was one related to cost, but others also to maybe accounting mismatches between insurance, reinsurance, and therefore the board has decided, okay, now to help insurance companies even more to doing that, and in parallel to defer the effective date for 1 year. So it is a kind of unique situation, and we were already aware that it is difficult for some insurance company to implement the standard because it is totally new concepts for them, and that's the reasoning why we have done it. But the exposure draft will be issued end of June, and we have only then a comment period of 90 days where people can comment on that. And I think, and the board also think, I think that is a standard which is really needed, and many users are waiting for that. And it was hard for us to defer, because also in parallel we allow insurance companies to defer all the implementation of IFRS 9, which banks have already to apply, and therefore it was a difficult decision. But I think in the compromise we are proposing that, and I think would be good if also not only specialists would comment on that, maybe also some maybe users and say, okay, that is kind of waiting for that and go ahead. That was my comment on the update. Any other comments on our current projects or current work? Maybe not the case. Then we, I think, go to this follow-up on issues discussed at the last meeting, which is agenda paper 1A and 1B. Any comments to that update? Follow-up? Also not the case. And maybe you have done a good job, Michelle. Then we should go to agenda point 2, which is disclosure of sensitive information, and we start with a staff presentation on this project, which is then followed by the first breakout session. Welcome, Neely and Tahu, giving us the presentation. The floor is yours.
Okay. We have a slide deck. That.